Dayton Jones, he'll miss a couple days this week. I don't know if I don't have a good handle on if he'll be available for St. Louis. Yeah, it was good to get DeJuan Harris back out there past his physical this morning with Dr. McKenzie, and his practice status was, you know, just in a limited basis. So we'll probably put him in, you know, we're going to pad tomorrow, so we'll probably go through the individual drills, keep him out of team drills again tomorrow, and just evaluate his progress.
How's Eddie Lacy doing right now?
Eddie Lacy was in rehab today. I haven't got a report on him. I mean, he's not ready for practice. You know, the procedure is he has to test, and he actually did test today, so I do not have a report on how he did.
And Cobb's fine?
Randall Cobb is getting better, yes.
How about TJ Lang?
TJ Lang, you know, his back is bothering him, so just be, you know, being precautionary. Frankly, I held TJ out of practice. He was dressed for practice, so we'll probably take the same approach again tomorrow.
Mike, what goes into the decision to have a closed practice, and what are the benefits of
that? Closed practice is more a reflection on what you're trying to work on. You know, today's focus was just working on concepts that we probably didn't get to hit as far as the quantity and quality during our installation phase. So, you know, they're just things that, you know, we'd rather work on in private. So, and just, you know, it's great to have the open practices. It's obviously very beneficial for the environment it creates and for the fans. But, you know, there are some things that you do want, you know, not exposed until the season comes.
So, Mike, do you work on 49ers stuff, or do you work on all kinds of different stuff?
Well, you work on potential concepts that you don't want to. I mean, we've used them. I mean, we've installed everything offensively, defensively, and special teams in those eight practices. So today is not, there isn't anything that we have not done. It's just that I think when you isolate it the way you do in these periods, you know, our media is very intelligent and on top of their game, and you write too much stuff, and we just don't want it written. So.
What'd you think of the kickers today, Mike?
I thought they hit the ball better than, you know, the last time we lined them up, and we increased the volume. We need to continue to do that. We're kicking every other day, and we just can't do enough of it.
Did you increase the volume because you didn't get to see them in the games, or was that part of the plan?
That's part of the plan. You know, it's just, you got to rep counts just like any time in training camp. So, and we'll continue to do that.
Mike, with TJ not practicing today, did that change what you were going to do at right tackle as far as how you were going to line guys up there?
Really, the reps today were just really a product of our numbers. I mean, certain guys played well in the game, got some increased reps. I mean, I'm sure you saw that, you know, with Walker and also Micah Hyde. So, I mean, some of the players that perform well or earning more opportunities. So, we'll continue to do that. And that's something you always do in this training camp environment, and it won't change as we get into the preparation for St. Louis. And, you know, we'll see how the week goes. And that's why we always do play time at the end of the week after the last practice.
Mike, what's the benefit of that besides the obvious of getting guys that earn the time a little more work? Is it kind of send a message to guys that, hey, look, if you play well, you're going to get more opportunities? Is there a fringe benefit at all?
I think it's just the reality of, you know, everybody's competing for a spot on your team. And, I mean, today more so than ever. I mean, you don't know. You really don't know what you have as a football team. You don't know what you have, particularly when you're a young football team every year. I mean, you know, these guys don't show up out of college ready to play professional football. So, I mean, you have limited opportunities, so you're making it as competitive as you possibly can, and when individuals step up, you try to give them more opportunities. But it's really not the individual reps; it's the combination of who they're playing with, when they play, and all those types of things. And it's a moving target; it's never exactly right. But, you know, at the end of the day, coaches create opportunities for players, and players need to take advantage of it.
With that being said, what do you do when you don't have any tape like Dorsey and Johnson?
Great question. I won't answer that when we have to. Yeah.
Have you seen any
Patrick Peterson the other night?
Say it again.
The interception by Patrick Peterson. What happened on the play?
Well, I think it's obvious what happened. The receiver didn't have a very good release. The other receiver ran his route too deep, and the quarterback made a bad decision. So you had three bad things happen on a play, and it resulted in a big play for Arizona.
Have you seen any growth in Van Roten and Taylor since the start of camp, and what's the possibility of jobs opening up there with Laga?
Well, I think it's definitely obvious with Greg, and who's the other one? Taylor? Lane? Yes, absolutely. I mean, I thought Lane played very well in the game. So, he missed some time. His wife, he had a personal reason why he missed practice, and I thought he stepped up and played well. So, those two guys will get more opportunities too.
Like, is there plenty of time for DeJuan to become, take over the starting job at running back? Maybe he has enough reps?
I mean, DeJuan Harris, the way we finished the season, I would classify him as a starter on our football team. Now, that doesn't mean he goes out and plays every down. So I have that confidence in him. It took us a while to get him ready last year, but I thought he finished the season very strong. And I look for him just to get through this week, and we'll evaluate him as he comes off this injury. But I'm very confident that sometime next week he'll be back where he needs to be.
Mike, you talked about after the game on Friday that maybe it wasn't as intensity or whatever that you wanted. Do you think any of that was in relation to practicing on Thursday, and are you, was being out of pads today any part of that, that maybe they were
no. fatigued? We practiced exactly the way we planned to practice. I mean, you have to get your work in. I don't know exactly offhand here, but I don't think there's a player that played above 35 plays. So if we can't play with energy for 60 minutes after practicing on Thursday, then those individuals aren't going to be here. So we've been very conscientious with how we're repping our football team, and I can't be any more conscientious, frankly.
Mike, do you think you might get Sherrod back within the next week or so?
I don't know about that. Derek Sherrod is making progress. He's very confident. The medical staff feels good about the way he's coming. He's really a product of his medical classification, and that's frankly the fact that he hasn't passed his physical, where you can't get into the contact of the loading that really the final step that he needs. To get ready to play offensive line, and every offensive lineman that's been hurt goes through this, so this isn't something new. So, and that's kind of where we are. We're trying to get him comfortable where he's showing the explosion and the ability to push through the rehab process. Because once you pass that physical, then you can't turn back.
Are you guys getting closer to a decision on Sean Richardson?
Actually, we talked about him this morning. The evaluation that just occurred with the information that was given to Dr. McKenzie, we feel that we need to still wait. There's still some healing that needs to take place.
Two more,
Mike. With Harris, what suggests that he's somebody that can stick around this league for a while?
I don't follow.
Undrafted guy that you picked up late last year. What do you see in him?
A lot of players that are undrafted. Frankly, Juan Harris being undrafted probably is one of the best things that probably ever happened to him. And the fact that he was, out of football. There's a different level of motivation to guys that go that route. In my opinion, it's entitlement is abundant. So sometimes when you're dealing with some of these guys coming in our league from college. And when you see a young man like DeJuan Harris, it's refreshing to see how motivated he is, especially, he's a uniquely talented guy. He's not the tallest guy in the world, and I'm sure that's why, from a personnel evaluation standpoint, he was probably passed over. But the young man's a damn good football player.
Mike, looking back on a year later now, just how well has that transition worked out for Brad and Jamari Lattimore going from outside to where they are now?
It's worked out very well, both for Brad and Jamari, and frankly, the experience of playing outside and inside and the ability to float in and out of different personnel groupings and have the responsibilities of an outside linebacker and as part of their inside linebacker responsibility has really helped us from a game-playing situation. So it's helped them broaden their spectrum of responsibility as a linebacker, as a rusher. I think the experience has really benefited those guys. Thank you. Showed up a little more on special teams in the other area. Thank you.